Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm gonna else I came to realize, yeah. I know that Jesus is the mountain.
Ooh,
I know that Jesus is the mountain. I'm going where
chilly winds don't blow.
I'm going where
chilly winds don't blow.
I'm going where
chilly winds don't blow.
Every day will be Sunday.
Chilly winds don't blow.
Sabbath will have no end.
Chilly winds don't blow.
Will you meet me there? I'm going wherever
chilly winds.
Oh, heaven,
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. It is October the 27th, 2020, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. First Baptist of Holly Springs is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Because of this pandemic, like most churches, we are not in our church building. We are worshiping virtually. We invite you to go to our Facebook page, go there, and hit the like button, like and share, so that others will know that First Baptist is on the air. Go to our Facebook page. There you will find all the pertinent information about First Baptist Church. You will find articles, all of the links for the Bible study that we have done this year. And you will also be able to tune in each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we go Facebook Live with our Sunday morning service. So we invite you to go there to the Facebook page, First Baptist Holly Spring Facebook page. Go there and hit the like button and share that others may know that First Baptist is on the air. We know that many of you are supporters of First Baptist. We thank you so very much for being supporters and being a part of the Bible study each week. We are here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Bible study. We thank you for joining us tonight. Of course, you know there are many ways in which you can give to First Baptist. We ask that you go to the Facebook page. You'll find that you'll be able to mail contributions, tithes, to the church. Proper mailing address is there on the Facebook page. You can also drop by the church between the hours of 11 to 12 on Sunday. 11 a.m. to 12 noon on Sunday, there is a trustee there who will take care of your financial needs. And of course, you know, we have a Facebook, we have a Cash App. And that Cash App is FBCHS, FBCHS, First Baptist Church, Holly Spring. Of course, with the Cash App, you put the dollar sign, and you can give your support to First Baptist at any time. So there are many ways in which you can do that. We want to thank the chairman of the program committee, Minister Edward McCullough, and all of those who worked so diligently to make sure that we had a wonderful homecoming on last week. I want to thank Reverend Calvin L. Bell, Sr. from Red Hill United Church of Christ, Clayton, North Carolina. Two great nights of revival. I want to thank the male chorus and the praise team of First Baptist for doing such a great job for the homecoming season. Of course, then you can see that program. If you have not been able to look at the revival program, they are still up on the Facebook page. You can go and you can see both nights of revival. Then, of course, last Sunday I brought the homecoming message. So many things are going on at First Baptist, and you can stay attuned to them by going to the Facebook page. You can leave your comments as well on the Facebook page. We want to remind you that the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina is going on right now at this time. You can go to the Facebook page there, not right now, after Bible study. The General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina is going on right now. You can register as an individual, or you just be able to go to the Facebook page and you can see some of the programs that they have this year. It is all virtual convention. Nothing is done in person. And you have an opportunity to go there for the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. It's going on this week. And you can go to their Facebook page and you can see some of the programming that they have for the 2020 convention. On last night, they had a gospel program, which is a very good program. Many of you may have seen that already, but if you have not, go to their page and you can see that. Of course, we want to remind you, of course, that a very important vote is coming up, the 2020 vote. I want to make sure that you get out and vote. If you have not voted as of yet, I want to make sure that you get out and vote and take someone with you. This is a very important vote for us. We can change the history of this country if we come together and pool our voices in a vote. So I'm asking you, please, ma'am, please, sir, if you have not done so yet, make sure you get out and vote. Take someone with you. During this early voting time, you can register and vote at the same time. And those of you who have already voted, thank God for you. We pray God's blessing as we continue to go through at this time. But don't forget to get out and vote, because the vote is very important for us this year. We continue to pray for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who find themselves going through at this very difficult time in our nation. Pray God's blessing upon them, and we hope that you are staying safe and that you're doing all that you can do to take every precaution at this time with your health. Those of you who have pre-existing conditions, we'll make sure that you take extra care and not venturing out, not getting to the point where you get that cabin fever where you just got to start going out. But make sure that you do so when you have to go out, you do so in a safe manner. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you, God, for all of those who are tuning in tonight. Thank you for those who are on the internet and those who are called in on the telephone line. We pray, God, that as we study tonight, that the words that we study will be seed sown in good soil. Long after this Bible study is over, it will produce fruit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our call-in number is always 845, area code 845-241-9839, area code 845 641-9839. Those of you who are listening over the internet, if you have gone to the First Baptist Facebook page, you can click on that link for Bible study that says treasure in earthen vessels. It will open up and you will see a link in there, and you can click on that link and it will take you directly to the Bible study. All of our Bible studies, all of our sermons, all that we have done has been archived, and you can go back at any time, any day, and you can hear and see all of the services that we have done this year at First Baptist of Holly Spring. Our Bible study tonight is entitled Treasure in Earthen Vessels. We're coming from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in the second verse, treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to start in verse 2. We're going to go down to verse 13. Clay was a common commodity in the Mediterranean, and earthen vessels made of clay were strictly utilitarian, considered almost disposable. Clay jars were ordinary, relatively fragile, and of little value compared to the more beautiful and elaborate bronze vessels of the day. A clay jar would be thrown away when it was flawed or had become ceremonially unclean. In biblical times, people who sometimes hid their treasures in clay jars, thinking that thieves would assume that an ugly earthen jar would hold nothing of value. What's going on here is that Paul had been accused by some of not acting or preaching like a true prophet or an apostle, and that he was weak, that he was unauthoritative, and didn't possess the oratorical skills of some of the false teachers of that day. In addition, these fake teachers accused Paul of misusing funds, implying that because he had to change his planned visit to the Corinthian church, he could not be trusted to keep his word. Paul countered these accusations by reminding the Corinthians that God had miraculously intervened in his life and chose him as an apostle. This we find in Acts 9 and 15. He also urged the Corinthian believers to remember his demeanor and his behavior while he lived and worked among them. He freely admitted that he was not a polished orator, but reminded the church that his knowledge of the gospel and his personal integrity were more important than masterful delivery of speech. Paul also reiterated that his humble demeanor was modeled after Jesus' example, and that Christ's power was more clearly seen because of Paul's weakness. In these verses that we're about to study, Paul continues to refute his opponents, who are apparently accusing him of being underhanded or deceitful. He appealed to the Christians to examine their conscience and to remember that he had always been truthful with them and taught the gospel plainly. He asserted that if anyone did not understand the truth of the gospel, it was because they had been blinded by the God of this world, by the enemy. Only people who have embraced the new covenant of Jesus Christ, have come to salvation, can understand spiritual truth. Satan's plan is to prevent people from comprehending and therefore receiving the truth. Paul reiterated that he did not preach to build his popularity, but because he sought to serve others on behalf of Jesus. He was imitating Jesus, who humbled himself as a servant in order to secure our redemption. And so Paul writes to them, and his willingness to suffer as a servant of Christ brought great benefit to the Christian believers at Corinth. He reminded them that his hardships were part of the cost he paid as a servant to bring the light of the gospel to them. Then, quoting from Psalm 116 and 10, Paul said along with the psalmist that he was compelled to tell others what God had done for him. His own story of deliverance, his own story of suffering, his own story of servitude had only been to make him more certain of his position in Christ. And so Paul writes to them, and he comes to them with these words: but if our gospel be hid, let's go to verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not willing to walk in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but the manifestation of the truth, commending others to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When Paul proclaimed the word of God, Paul had been accused, as I said before, of craftiness. But what Paul was trying to explain to them, that having announced the things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness and not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, he commended himself to the conscience of those who heard the word. So in other words, you know the truth when you hear it, Paul is saying. So regardless of what people are saying about it, if you know it to be true, then you have to stand on that truth and Paul's authority. The word here to accuse Paul is the same word that was used to describe Satan's deception of Eve in the garden. Paul asserted that unlike Satan, he did not walk in craftiness and had renounced the hidden things, meaning concealed or secret things. That's why he said in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the sight of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul reminded the Corinthians that Satan had not been absent, but continually working to blind them, to blunt them, and to cause them to have mental discernment. This is the reason that the truth of the gospel was hid from them. Satan, the god of this world, or the prince of the present age, was not desirous that the light of the gospel would go forth into the world and proclaim the grace of God. God's manifest and pledge in Christ Jesus didn't want it to be shown upon the people. Still, these people's unbelief did not diminish the truth that Christ is God, as the image of God, the likeness of God, his divine nature, his moral excellence. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that the light of Christ was glorious. In other words, beloved, just because there are people who say that it's not, does not mean that it's not true. Just because there are people who say they don't believe in something does not mean that it's not true. And there will always be those who will work against the work of God to try to diminish the work of God in even the people who do the work of God. And because of that, it blinds them to the full knowledge of God. This is not by accident. This is done on purpose by the enemy himself. Just because people don't want to understand or don't come to a full understanding of Christ does not mean that it cannot be understood. Just because people will not see the likeness, will not see the light in the darkness, does not mean that the light is not there. So we have to understand that there is a reason for that. And he says in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves our servants for Christ's sake. One could be tempted to think that a learned man like Paul, with the type of education and training he had received, his ability to draw a crowd would get caught up in his fame and say whatever the crowd wanted him to say. But Paul's experience on the Damascus road where he met Jesus changed him. And God was glorified in him, and it affected him that he presented himself as a servant, someone who was devoted to do the will of God. And he wanted the Corinthians to know for Christ's sake, because of Christ and the mission with which Paul was charged, he would not flatter the people with flowery words. He would not flatter or try to impress people with his wit or with his charm. His purpose was to show Christ and not himself. For God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, have shined it in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not in us. When Paul makes this statement, the gospel talking about a treasure, the recipients then and for all time, and with each of us included today, should rejoice exceedingly because of the immeasurable value therein found. The gospel itself is the good news. It is a treasure. For the Bible says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel has the power of God to save. That's a treasure. The treasure our response unto is the only investment we can make here, that we have riches on this earth and hereafter. That's a treasure. The wonderful story of love, God's interest in humanity from the Garden of Eden to the island of Patmos, even in the stages of those who came throughout the generations, even when the law was revealed to Moses, and even now it guides the divining hand of those who live in the fullness of time, those who are living right now. We have a treasure, and it's hidden and it's placed in earthly vessels. Now, this special treasure in which Paul speaks is to be found in an earthen vessel. Why would anyone put something that is valuable in an earthen vessel? Earthen vessel is just a vessel made of clay. An earthen vessel is a vessel that can be broken. An earthen vessel is something that can be thrown away once it is used or when it's unclean. But Paul here wants us to understand that the power that he exhibited came from his message that Christ was the Son of God. And writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10, Paul said, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Further, Paul states in 1 Corinthians 14 and 37, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. For these are treasures, and those treasures have been placed in us, which is an earthy vessel. Here we have recorded proof of the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Paul became a chosen vessel for the treasure of the Lord and formed those who would hear the word. With the word itself was a treasured vessel. And then those who would receive the word became a treasured vessel. This treasure of Jesus Christ and the full knowledge of him was hidden and placed in an earthen vessel, and there it is today. The 12 apostles were earthen vessels. Those that tarried in Jerusalem were earthen vessels. Those that were there on the day of Pentecost were earthen vessels. Those who were there in this time are earthen vessels. There's an importance of earthen vessels in the conversion and the conversation that we have concerning Christ Jesus. Understanding that the treasure was placed in earthen vessels, it is then no problem to see why in every case of conversion under the Great Commission, the treasure, the gospel, was dispensed by an earthen vessel, by a man or a woman. and salvation was enjoyed when the hearers properly responded to it. Listen closely to those words. Those words gave life to those. God substituted Christ for our sins, and there is nothing we can do to substitute Christ and still please God. Treasures are items of great value. Sometimes many spend great effort and time searching for buried treasure. Others work hard to collect and hoard dollars or become owners of great amounts of property. Jesus said in Luke 12, 33 and 34, provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth doth corrupt. For where the treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he says to them in those words, in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Paul had become used to being a hunted man. Because of his witness for Christ, he continually had to flee from one city to another for his own safety. Even now, upon his return to Corinth and within the church he founded, he had accusers who questioned his motives. In the face of such treatment, one would be tempted toward discouragement. But Paul shared in four powerful statements his faith and trust in the supremacy of God's great power. Though troubled, meaning to be pressed hard upon, Paul was not distressed. Through perplexity, or meaning to without resources or to be left wanting, he was not in despair. God had always provided for Paul's sustenance and well-being. His trials only served to reinforce his faith in Christ Jesus. Paul knew persecution. He knew how to run. He knew how to flee. He knew how to put up a fight. He knew how to deal with those who would come against him on a physical level. He knew how to deal with those who would want to do harm to his body. And he also used the term cast down, those who would actually physically throw him to the ground, those who wanted to see him dead, those who did not want him to rise up and continue the work that he was doing. He knew that God would never forsake him. He knew that God would never leave him helpless. And so he spoke those words so that we will have the same encouragement today. For many of us have gone through the same thing. For we have all been troubled on every side, and yet we are not distressed. We have all been perplexed, but we are not in despair. We have all been persecuted, but we have not been forgotten, especially by God. We have been all cast down, but we are still not destroyed. Because of all the things that we have gone through, all the things that we have suffered against, God is still on our side, and God still gives us the power to keep on keeping on. In verse 10, he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Christ's sake, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul tried to help them understand that Christ's purpose on earth was to redeem mankind, involved a constant dying, meaning to be put to death. The Lord Jesus had continuously been in a target of Jewish leadership who sought to kill him and take his earthly life. Even so, Christ spent his physical energies and spiritual strength in the service of those he came to serve. Christ knew sleepless nights and emotional distress. In a sense, his death upon Calvary's cross was but the culmination of the dying process he had been experiencing until he reached Golgotha. Christ endured his gradual dying so that in his resurrection, his life could show forth the body ministry of those who believed in him. Paul understood this gradual dying because he lived daily, constant threat of death. He explained that like Christ, we who live and belong to Christ also experience a constant dying as we are delivered, meaning to give over to the hands of death. From the time that you are born, you are always dying. There will come a time that you will not exist anymore. This should not be surprising for the believer, for God the Father sees all those who believe in Christ Jesus as having died with him. This he does for our sake, so that the life that is through Christ can be made manifest, to be made evident in our mortal bodies for all the world to see. Such sacrifice is the service of humanity and the glory of God. So in verse 12, so when death worketh in us, but life in you, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Paul, daily physical suffering and dying was to be seen for the benefit of the Corinthians. As he emulated the life and the ministry of Christ, so they too were to emulate this example, the daily living, so that he might work to the benefit of life. Paul then reminded the Corinthians of the teachings of Psalm 116 and 10. The writer of that psalm knew affliction, but that did not deter him from speaking. Paul wanted the Corinthian church to understand that to speak even in the midst of suffering and affliction was true evidence of having believed, meaning to trust in Jesus as God and to know that he would carry you through. Paul's encouragement to the Corinthians was for them to speak, meaning to use words in order to declare the meaning and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Knowing that he, which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For Paul, everything found its purpose in Jesus. Like Jesus, Paul could now know suffering. And not only would he know suffering, he could rejoice in the midst of his suffering. This is why Paul said he can find himself content in any situation that he may be in. There may be a time in life that you may have to go through, but you can find rejoicing in your suffering. Like Jesus, Paul could give his life in ministry and sacrifice. Because of Jesus, Paul believed that God would bring him and all other believers into a newness of life. Death would have no hold. Life on earth, no matter how unpleasant, would have found a purpose that served humanity and also brought honor to God. In the end, Paul promised that the Corinthians, that they would all be gathered in the presence of God. See, this Paul knew. He knew because he had confidence in God. It is a confidence we also can share. In verse 15, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Everything Christ accomplished and everything Paul sought to accomplish have been one grand end to bring glory to God. On the strength of the abundant grace bestowed upon him, even in the midst of his suffering and trial, Paul gave thanks, believing that as a result, many others would also come to God with thanksgiving, would also come to God with gratitude, with a grateful heart, and with an act of worship. The worship and thanksgiving would then rebound, and it would go forth, and other people would hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. and it would benefit them, and they would be raised and given new spirit and a new life, that they may shine forth the light of Almighty God, to so that others may see that work as well. So sacrifice, self-sacrifice, and service to others are not very popular these days. People seek to please themselves and are willing to go to great lengths to satisfy their own desires. As believers, we must reject self-absorption and accept our responsibility to put our own fleshly wants aside in order to save others. When we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, we accept the amazing gift of salvation. But with that gift comes responsibility to share the gospel of Christ with others, no matter the cost. The only way we are able to accomplish this is to allow His power to work in us, despite even our own human weakness. This is why Paul talked about the treasure in that earthly vessel. Paul wanted us to know that we do have a treasure, and it's locked away in this earthen vessel. In one of these old days, this earthen vessel will decay, but the Spirit of God will continue, and it will go stronger. And when it leaves here, it will go back to where it came from. We must understand today that during this time in our lives, many people have a concept of an ideal Christian. But please remember that this ideal was created by us. There is no such thing as an ideal Christian. That is a figment of our imagination. This was not created by God, but it was created by man. The kind of ideal Christian does not exist, nor does God want us to be ideal. Here we meet an earthen vessel. But the special characteristics of the earthen vessel is that a treasure has been put in it. The treasure transcends and overshadows the earthen vessel and manifests itself from within the vessel. This is the meaning of Christianity and the beginning and the meaning of being a Christian. In Paul, we see a man who was afraid yet strong. He was troubled in his heart, yet he had hope. He was surrounded by enemies, yet he was not captured. Although he met with persecution, he did not feel rejected or cast aside. He seemingly was knocked down, but he did not die. We see his weakness, but when he was weak, he was powerful. We see him bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, but the life of Jesus was manifested in his body. We see him being slandered, but he had a good name. He seemingly led others astray, they say, but he was honest. He seemingly was not famous, they say, but everyone knew him. He seemingly was about to die, but he lived. He seemingly was punished, but he was not to death. He seemingly was sad, but he always rejoiced. He seemingly was poor, but he was also very rich. He seemingly had nothing, but he had everything. This is a real Christian. This is the truth of Christianity. This is the truth of who we are and the God that we serve, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm going to open the phone lines. There may be some who would like to comment on tonight's lesson. You may have heard the lesson. You may find some interesting in it, or you may have a question about it. Maybe something about the lesson that you have read before. There's a very popular scripture that is taken from the second book of Corinthians 4. So we're going to open the phone lines tonight so that there may be some who would like to comment on the lesson. Let's go to area code. We have a lot of callers on the line tonight. I don't think I'm going to get to everybody, but let's go to, here's a different area code. Area code 252. Last four digits, 1600. Go right ahead. You on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. The only thing I have to say that is Tim, Deacon Taylor's mother, that was a powerful message. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for listening. You are a great supporter of our Bible study. We thank you. We pray God's blessing upon you. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir. This is Mangum. Let's see. I just have this one comment. Like today, you know, although we are oppressed on every side, we just must keep our hands in God's hand because He will hold and keep us up. We will not fall if we just keep our hands in His hand.
Miss Mangum, there is that scripture that I read before, verse 3. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Do you see the importance of that? Do you see what Paul is saying there? He's saying that the gospel is there. It's for everyone to see. But the only people who don't see it are the people who are purposely being blinded by Satan. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you see how that affects the church?
Yes, sir. One thing that I was reading, it was saying, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an accident. That's done on purpose. That's done on purpose.
Yes.
Let's go to area code 919, last four digits 1694. 1694, are you on the line?
Yes, good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Thank
God for that word tonight. It's amazing, as I was listening to that, it's amazing that if people really knew that a treasure was hidden within each and every one of our hearts, within us as earthly vessels, we wouldn't treat each other in so many ways.
Amen.
Because we would know that each one of us is special. You know, I've heard that scripture, you know, time and time again. But I got a different revelation from it tonight. That is really something. You know, thank God for the word.
Amen. I think you hit the nail on the head with that. That was exactly what Paul is trying to say. He wants us to know that is the treasure, and we are the earthen vessel. Let's go to area code 919. Last two digits. I might have said 2699. Was that you, Deacon?
No, that's me, Janice Evans.
Go right ahead, Sister Evans. How are you?
I'm fine. How are y'all?
Doing good.
I just want to say I enjoyed the word tonight.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits 2329. Are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor. This is First Lady.
How are
you? Yes, Pastor. This is First Lady. I'm on the line.
Amen.
I just want to say good evening to you and to our Bible study family. As Deaconess Taylor, mother, as Deacon Taylor has said, I want to sort of say we must learn. I believe we know, but I think sometimes we try God just to see just how far we can go with Him as far as being the earthen vessel, because it's been said, and it's said often, that we are the only eyes, the only hands, the only mouth, the only feet
Amen.
That God has to use for us to get to someone else. But there are times that we, as this earthen or chosen vessel, we will take God or try God just to see exactly how far we can go. And then sometimes when we really find out that God is not a God of to play with, then it's too late. But we must learn. And in these last and evil days, we should learn, we need to learn, we've got to learn that our time is winding up, and he really
Amen. Is showing
us that we are his earthen vessel.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you so very much, First Lady. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 7459. 7459. So 7459 is just listening. It's all right. Let's go to area code 910. Last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you and everyone on the line?
Hello. Doing great.
Good evening.
Yes, I heard the lesson, very good lesson, and like you were saying earlier, it's a familiar scripture, but then every time you go to it, you get something else out of it, and I really enjoyed that section where you were talking about everything that Paul had been through.
Mm-hmm.
And how he learned, you know, when he went through everything, that God was still, you know, he still continued to preach God and continued to know about God through his experiences.
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely. Let me ask you a question, Deaconess. You ever hid money?
Yes, I have hid money.
I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just asking. Did you?
No,
did you
I understand what you're saying. I have hid money and then come back across it. You know.
Yeah. Did you?
Ever...
Mm-hmm. How did you manage, y'all? Did you? Where'd you put it? Did you, coffee can? What'd you do?
Well, I hid it in different places, but Pastor, and I come back to it. Oh, wait, in the world. Did I forget this was here?
Yeah, yeah. And you looked all around.
Yeah,
and didn't
I hid
see
money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And you looked all around and you didn't see it. And this is how it is with us. God has placed a great treasure in us. And we're looking around trying to find great wealth in the world when the great wealth has already been placed in us. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for someone out in the world to give it to us. We're looking for some church or some preacher or some word to give it to us. But God has placed a treasure already in us. And so what we have to do is go inside of us and find him. And by finding him, we find a treasure greater than any treasure we could possibly find upon the earth. And this is the reason, one of the reasons why Paul wanted them to understand that this faith that we have is no joke. This belief that we have is a serious belief, is a strong belief, is built upon a strong foundation. Those who are scoffers and those who are naysayers and those who are non-believers are out there talking about this, that, and the other. They have no clue to what God has done and placed in you. They don't see the treasure. All they see is the clay pot. You see, all they see is the clay pot. That clay pot that gets older every year. That clay pot that gets arthritis and rheumatism. That clay pot that gets high blood pressure. That clay pot that you know can be easily. But the treasure they can't see, and that treasure is inside of us. One of the things that Deacon Taylor, I wanted you to go with me to that 10th verse. Deacon Taylor, go with me there. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Christ's sake, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Deke, what do you think Paul is really trying to get to here?
At this time, basically Paul is saying what has been echoed for years and years and years. We should be living so Christ can be seen through us. Because this body, this mortal flesh, is going to decay. It's going to go back to the earth. It's going to, and our soul is going to go back to God, the our Creator. But while we're living, as we know it, that Christ Jesus died and went back to heaven, he is not visible to you or me as I see you or somebody else in passing, but because of faith, that word faith. Now, faith is the substance of all things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That's that's how we have to live. You know, we might not can see a miracle or a blessing that we need or ask for, but we believe in our heart it's going to happen. We believe in our heart it's going to be given. And we live it that way. Can't nobody turn us around, turn our thinking around from saying it's not coming to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to live. We have to live as First Lady was just saying. We have to live so that others who don't know nothing. Well, I ain't gonna say nothing. For others who don't know a lot about the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ. You know, everybody know where church is. Everybody know what Sunday school is, and they ain't on the line then, but some people they need to see us so they can see something more tangible, but
mm-hmm.
not just us as you or me, as the living body through Christ.
Exactly. Thank you so much. You did a very good job explaining that. See, Paul understood that gradual dying concept because he lived that life. Many of us will never have to live the type of life that the first Christians lived. You got to remember, during the days of Paul, it was almost unlawful to be a Christian. And you could be put to death for your belief. And there was great persecution. There was great tragedy. A great cloud hung over those who were claiming the name of Jesus Christ. And so he lived under a constant threat. He lived under a constant threat of death and a constant threat of bodily harm. We don't have to deal with that today. Nobody's going to hurt us if we come to church. Nobody's going to hang us or burn us at the stake because we believe in Jesus Christ. But you got to remember, back in those days, you had to be a bold Christian. It was no need. Won't no weak kneed Christians back then. You were either in or you were out. You know,
amen.
There was no sitting on the fence, you know, because it meant your life. But I think that Paul wanted to convey that physical concept in a spiritual manner when he started to talk about that bearing in the body, the dying of Christ Jesus, because Jesus knew from the very beginning that he was sent to die. Just like we know from the very beginning, that from the day we're born, the day we take our first breath, there will be a day that we take our last. And that is
Jesus.
One of the things that we walk toward in this life. I wanted to go back and ask someone else a question. Sister Evans, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
In the mission field, Sister Evans, in the mission field, when we call ourselves missionaries, what is it that we need to convey to people concerning this teaching that we have, so that word would spread to those who would hear it? Now, everybody's not going to hear it. Everybody's not going to accept it. But as a missionary, how do we keep ourselves encouraged to keep on doing that so that others will see the light in the darkness?
Just by going out and saying, telling what God has done for us, and if he do it for us, we know that he'll do it for you. And I guess
That's the key. You use the key. You just open the door. You said to tell somebody about what Christ has done for you. The only story we can tell is our own. That's the only story we can tell. I can't tell the story of your salvation. You can't tell the story of mine. So the only story that we can tell is our own. So that's the key. That was exactly it. You hit the nail on the head when you said that. You didn't know it, but you hit the nail on the head when you said it. That's the only way. We have to tell the story of what we have seen and what we have heard, what we have experienced. That way, we can convey to those as we go into our missionary field what this word means to us. Therefore, it should mean or could mean to them. That's why it's so important for the church today to have active missionaries to go out and witness and tell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people don't see it as a treasure. They see it as just words written in a book. They don't see it as something as a guide to live by. They see it as a dead letter on a page. And we have to take that dead letter off the page and bring it to life so that those that hear that word can be injected with the Spirit of God, and that word can spark energy and life into those who are dead, can now be raised up to be alive. I want to, Deacon Taylor's mother, amen, God bless you. I always enjoy hearing you talk. I always enjoy listening to you speak. In your lifetime, in your ministry, in your lifetime, as you talk to people about that, do you often get that question about life and death concerning Christ? Well, you know, if God loved me, he wouldn't have took my granddaddy away, or he wouldn't have took my mama away. Do you often get that question? And if so, how do you deal with that?
Pastor, I'm going to tell you what happened with me. When my husband passed, yes, I did. I'm a mother of the church. I was so upset. I was so outdone. I questioned God. I stayed in that house by myself, and I was fussing. I threw dishes. I broke dishes. And I'm going to tell you something. Be careful how you talk to God.
Amen.
About an hour after I sit down, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Said, Teresa, and I knew wasn't nobody in the house. He called my name again, Teresa. He said, I love Elder Gay. I love those dope addicts. I love those drunks. And all of them belong to me. Don't ever question me no more about what I do. That's my teaching to somebody now. Be careful what you say to God. Because you might not like your answer when you get it back.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all so very much. You have really made a difference in this Bible study. We pray that you will continue to study the Word of God. This is a very powerful lesson. Does anyone else have anything that they want to add to the lesson? Anyone else? I know I didn't get a chance to talk about. It's about five or six more of you whose numbers I couldn't get to. Our time is almost up. But I thank God for all of you who are listening, those of you who are listening over the Internet. We have probably about 23 people listening over the Internet. They're not called in. They're listening over the Internet. And then, of course, our switchboard is almost full. I have about at least 17 or 18 people who have called in. Most of them are outside the 919 area code. But we thank God for all of you who are listening tonight. We pray God's blessing upon you. We hope that you will continue to support First Baptist of Holly Spring. We're on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for the Holly Spring First Baptist Church Bible study. Don't forget, the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina is on right now. You can go there and you can see some of the things that are going on with the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for those who have called in tonight. We thank you for those, God, who are listening and hearing our words, that we pray that this treasure in earthen vessels be known unto them, God, that we will show forth the light of your goodness and of your mercy. God, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to come closer to you. Teach us how to love one another. Father, we thank you right now. And we put all things in your hands, knowing that if we put it in your hands, that you will make it all right. Father, we love you tonight. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. God bless you tonight.
Amen.
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 Okay,
good night.
Good night.
God bless you tonight.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, babe.
Keep the faith. Don't give up. You can do this.
Bye.